For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday afternoon, July the 8th, 1993. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null, Salina, Kansas, is the speaker of the afternoon.
Lord, we just praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to bless this reading of your word, Lord God. Lord, just bless your word now, Lord God. Bless the reading of your word, Lord. Open our minds that we might receive it down into our hearts, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Just touch us, Lord, and let the anointing flow through, Lord God, that we will have an understanding of your word, Lord, for our lives. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Some time ago, God impressed me to make a study. Just saying, working, Glenn? Yeah. Can y'all hear me back in the back? God impressed me to make a study of the word abomination in the Bible. I've got the Bible online on my computer, and so I punched in abomination, and there were 175, was used 175 times in the Bible. And so I had the computer printed out, and I had it printed out so that it told me which Strong's word it was speaking of. And I found that there were two roots that were used predominantly. Actually, there are four roots, but there are two of them you use predominantly. Two of them are only used about three times. And they're mostly in a ritualistic, they're ritualistic words. And there was one word that was translated to stink that was about 150 times, and it was translated to abomination once. And so I look at, on your first page of this, of your handout, you'll see that there are, it says Strong's number 8,441, which is a female active participle of number 8,591. And there in the theological workbook of the Old Testament on page 2503, part A, N, and F, you will find a rather in-depth discussion of this word. And it actually, it says it's just a disgusting thing. It's an abominable thing. And you'll see the word it's derived from, and it's got a nephel and a pl and a hiphel roots. And I had my son explain all this to me, who reads Greek and Hebrew. And he sat down as he began to explain it, and he got several legal pads and began to write it out and show me how this related back to Latin. And I tried to thank you. I tried not to appear completely dumb, you know. It's better, you know, to sit in the corner and appear stupid than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. But he said that these were verb forms, actually. These various hippel, pl, and hippel are verb forms. And he said the most common verb form, the quadrille root, it doesn't appear in, which he thought was very interesting, but he said he didn't have time to research it. And you'll see the next word is a primitive word, 8,262, and the next two words that arrive from it. And so we have two major roots. And the first root, the one on top, the female participle, can be either an abominable act or an abominable thing. It can be either. An abomination can either be an abominable act or an abominable thing. Can be either one. It's a noun. It's used as a noun. And it can be either an abominable act or an abominable thing. And the ones down below here can be the same. And in one place in the Bible that I find God used both roots in the same verse, trying to add emphasis to it. And so the first thing I would like for you to do, having looked at all this theology here, let's look at the Word of God now. And I'd like for you to open your Bibles to Deuteronomy 7:25. Now, this on your handout, you'll open that, the next page, and you'll see idols. And the first reference you see is Deuteronomy 7:25. And it says, "You shall burn the carved images of their gods with fire. You shall not covet the gold or the silver that is on them, nor take it for yourselves, lest you be snared by it. For it is an abomination to the Lord your God." Verse 26, "Nor shall you bring an abomination into your house, lest you be doomed to destruction like it." Now, if you're reading an old King James, it says, "lest you become an accursed object." But that's something that's doomed to destruction. "Like it, but you shall utterly detest it and abhor it, for it's an accursed thing." Now, the word there, "utterly detest and abhor it," can be translated abomination, abomination. So God uses both roots in this. He does not want you bringing abominable things into your homes. Because if you do, you will become an abomination like it, an accursed thing doomed to destruction. Does that frighten you? It should. Now, Irma has a very good pamphlet back there that says, "Don't bring an accursed thing into your home." And I would suggest that you get it and read it and clean your house out. She found a lady that was dying of cancer. And they had a bunch of pictures of owls in the house, which are accursed things, creatures of the night. But there were more than pictures of owls. This girl had, everything she had owls on it. But that is one. Now let's turn over to Deuteronomy 18 to show you this is not a single verse. Let's look at Deuteronomy 18, which is not in the idolatry series, but 18:9. Here we're talking about abominations. "When you come into the land that your Lord your God's giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abomination of those nations. There shall not be one among you." And then he begins to list the abominations. "Makes a son or daughter pass through the fire, child sacrifice. One who practices witchcraft. A soothsayer." That's a card layer. "Fortune teller. Interpreter of omens. A sorcerer, one who conjures spells," that's a charmer, "a medium or a spiritualist, or one who calls up the dead," a necromancer. In the next verse, "For all who do these things are an abomination to God." So if you do these abominable acts, you can become an abomination. God says if you're involved in their cult, you can become an abomination. That is a cursed thing doomed to destruction. It can kill you. Now let's go back to idolatry. Let's look at 2 Kings 23:13. I'm not going to try to look at all these scriptures. There are 175 of them. And I've gone through them and these are the scriptures that God says these things are abominations. And a lot of these you have to read them in context. He'll talk about abominations. You've got to go back four verses or five verses and you'll find a whole list of things he talks about are abominations. Look at 2 Kings 23:13. "And here we find the idols." And he's talking about Nasa. No, he's talking about Solomon. I'm sorry. Look at 23:13. "And the king defiled the high places that were east of Jerusalem." Now this is Joash is destroying these things. They were on the south of the Mount of Corruption, which King Solomon of Israel built for Ashtaroth, the abomination of the Sidonians, Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and Milcom, the abomination of the people of Ammon. Now these are idols, but they're idols to sacrifice children in. All of these idols were built for one thing, to receive the firstborn child. Chemosh was a big pot-bellied thing that they built a fire in. and had these arms on it, and you laid the baby on the arms, and he dropped down into the fire and burned up, and they beat the kettle drum so you couldn't hear him scream. The other two, the Moabites, I mean the Astra, was the she was the goddess of fertility, and actually it was a whorehouse, had both male and female prostitutes in it. And if you wanted a blessing from the god, you took an offering up and donated it, and then you had intercourse with one of the prostitutes. You will find that they cast the male prostitutes out of the temple several times. They had both male and female prostitutes in these in Astra. Astra is also referred to as the groves. And they had these large wooden idols. And if you will just think a minute now, they had this large wooden shaft that rose up that marked it, which represented an erect male sexual organ. And this is Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites, was used in child sacrifice. I want you to see the association between idolatry and abortion or child sacrifice. Now, most children that are sacrificed today in abortion are sacrificed to the god of self. It's not convenient for me. I don't want to be bothered with it. I don't want the expense of it. I don't want this gift from God. And so I'm going to kill it and get rid of it. It bothers me. It invades my privacy. And so, but I wanted you to see the association between idolatry. Now, let's turn to Ezekiel 16. Well, let's go to Jeremiah first. Jeremiah 2:7. Jeremiah 2:7. And I want to read this down to verse 13. I brought you into a bountiful country to eat of its fruit and its goodness. And when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priest did not say, "Where is the Lord?" And those who handle the law did not know me. The rulers also transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that did not profit. Therefore I'll bring charges against you, says the Lord, and against your children's children I will bring charges. From past beyond the coast of Cyprus and sea, send to Kenya and consider diligently and see if there's been such a thing. Has a nation changed its gods which are not gods? But my people have changed their glory. For what does it profit? Be admonished, O heavens. It's horribly afraid. Very desolate, said the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water. And here Jeremiah is bringing them and talking to them that they have forsaken. Now, if we go on over to verse 20, we skip down to verse 20. For of old I have broken your yoke and burst your bonds, and you said, I will not transgress. When on every high hill and under every green tree you lay down and played the harlot. Yet I have planted you a noble vine, a seed of highest quality. How have you turned before me into a degenerate plant of an alien vine? For though you wash yourself with lye and use much soap, yet your iniquity is marked before me, says the Lord. How can you say, I am not polluted? I have not gone after the balls. See your way into the valley? Know what you have done? You are a swift dromedary breaking loose in her ways. A wild donkey used to the wilderness that sniffs at the wind and her desire. In her time of mating, who can turn her away? All those that seek her will not weary themselves. In her month they will find her. Behold your foot from being unshod, your throat from thirst, but you say there is no hope. No, I have loved aliens. After them I will go. You see the association now of idolatry and whoredom. God says that they have chased after, like a wild donkey in heat, they have chased after foreign gods. They've been a harlot. And holotry is always associated with pagan image, with pagan religion. In the Word of God, you cannot separate idolatry, whoredom, and the occult. They're all intertwined, and they're all abominations to God. Let's look now at Ezekiel 16. Now, that should be verse 22 instead of verse 12. My secretary made a mistake. Verse 16:22. The reference in your notes says 16:12. It should be 16:22. And in all of your abominations and acts of idolatry, did you not remember the days of your youth when you were naked and bare and struggling in your blood? Then it was so after your wickedness, woe, woe to you, says the Lord, that you built for yourself a shrine and made a high place for yourself in every street. You built your high places at the head of every road and made your beauty to be a hoard. You offered yourself to everyone who passed by and multiplied your acts of idolatry. You also committed idolatry with the Egyptians, your fleshly neighbors, and increased your acts of idolatry to provoke me to anger. Behold, I stretched out my hand against you and diminished your allotment. I gave you up to the wills of those that hate you, the daughters of the Philistines, who were ashamed of your lewd behavior. You played the harlot with the Assyrians because you were insatiable. Indeed, you played the harlot with them and were not satisfied. And you multiplied your acts and you were not satisfied. And you come on down to verse 35. Then, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, because of your filthiness was poured out, and your nakedness uncovered your idolatry with your lovers and with your abominable idols, and because of the blood of your children which you gave them. And you can read the rest of it. God speaks of judgment. But I want you to see that idolatry, sexual immorality, and child sacrifice are all intertwined. If you look in the next group is child sacrifice. In verse 18:12, we've already talked about that. We've already looked at that verse, Deuteronomy 18, that child sacrifice was the practice of the Canaanite nations. And there are a number of scriptures there. I think we all realize that God feels that adultery is an abomination to Him. Intercourse between and among when a woman's monthly period is an abomination to God. There are three references there. Incest is an abomination. Let's look at Leviticus 18. In Leviticus 18, there are a number of abominations. We won't read them all, but it speaks of incest. And when it speaks of the nakedness of your father, the nakedness of the mother, you shall not uncover. She is your mother, you shall not uncover her nakedness. It speaks of having sexual intercourse. And then it says the nakedness of your father's wife, your sister, the daughter of your father, the daughter of your mother, your son's daughter, your daughter's daughter, your father's wife's daughter, begotten by your father, your father's sister, your mother's sister, your father's brother, your father's brother's wife. If you read this through, you'll see it covers every possible blood relation and in-law. It says covers all the in-laws and the outlaws. But it is written in such a way that it covers every potentiality for incest. And these are abominations to God. Let's go on down to verse 19. You shall not approach a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she's in a customary impurity. That's a menstrual period. You shall not lie carnally with your neighbor's wife and defile yourself with her. That's adultery. You shall not let any of your descendants pass through the fire of Molech, child sacrifice. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. That's homosexuality. You shall not mate with any beast and defile yourself. Nor shall any woman stand before a beast to mate with it. It is perversion. Did you know, if under the religion of the Baals, if you wanted to have a good crop, if you wanted to guarantee, one of the guarantees of a good crop was to pay the priest of Baal to come out and have ritualistic intercourse with your oxen in the field? Bestiality. Now, their practices went down from there. I could describe some more of them that that really would not be polite conversation. But it went down from there. Do not defile yourself with any of these things. For all these nations are defiled, and I'm casting them out. For the land is defiled, therefore I will visit punishment on it. You shall keep my statutes and my judgments and not commit any of those abominations. And all these things are considered abominations. And when you commit them, you will become an abomination too. Anyone who commits any of these abominations, the persons who commit them, shall be cut off from among the people. Don't defile yourself. That means to make yourself an abomination. For I am the Lord your God. Now everybody knows you're not supposed to worship other gods. Let's look at Deuteronomy 22. Everybody knows what a transvestite is. 22:5. The woman shall not wear anything that pertains to a man, nor shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all who do are an abomination to the Lord your God. A transvestite is one sex dressing as the other. And we have, right now, we have beauty pageants of men dressed as women. I mean, praise God. The earnings of a male or female prostitute. Let's look at that. Verse 18. You shall not bring the hire of a harlot or the price of a dog to the house of the Lord your God for an avowed offering, for both of these are abomination to the Lord your God. Now, the price of a dog, that's a male prostitute. That's not an animal. Well, it's not a dog, a puppy dog. Now, on the second page, you'll see some things that say unclean foods. And I've gone through this, and I've listed the animals that the Bible says are abominations to God. Now, I took a little liberty on the fish. I listed some things that I knew. It said the clean fish, a fish with scales and fins, and unclean are the scavengers like the catfish and the shellfish like the shrimp and the lobster and the crabs. In Leviticus, it talks about unclean birds. You see, it's the eagle and the vulture and the buzzard. These are animals that are scavengers. These are animals that are scavengers. You can eat clean birds. Those are the birds that eat seed. But these birds are birds that eat meat, dead meat mostly. In some cases, they're live meat, but they're meat eaters. They're scavengers. You'll notice on the clean animals, they're all animals that eat vegetation. And on the fish, they are on the fish. They are not the scavengers, the ones that clean up the bottom. Well, you know, let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. I'm not trying to put you people back under the Hebrew dietary laws. I want to make that perfectly plain to you. This is what I believe, where my righteousness comes from. On 2 Corinthians 5:21, it said, He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus Christ is our righteousness. And our righteousness comes from Him, not from keeping any dietary laws. But these things are still abominations to God. He hasn't changed how He feels about them. If you go through the Jewish dietary law and you follow it, you will find that you have the perfect low cholesterol diet that will give you a good, long life. I can remember when I first started in medicine, they didn't think diet really caused any problems. And then they begin to think, well, maybe fat caused some problems. Maybe the fat did it. And I decided I wasn't going to eat any more pig because I figured that pig was probably the worst thing you could eat because it was just full of fat. That everything had fat. I quit eating pig altogether, and I hadn't eaten any pig in 30 years. And then they found that you should eat complex carbohydrates. Now, you know what a complex carbohydrate is? That is a carbohydrate that, as you digest it, it releases a sugar slowly into your bloodstream. And you don't develop high blood sugar from eating it. Refined sugar. What did the Jewish diet say? It says you eat grain and complex carbohydrates, basically. And they ate olive oil. They didn't eat any blood. They didn't eat any fat. And didn't eat any pig. They ate mostly. They didn't eat any seafood. You know that shrimp and lobster and crabs got more cholesterol in them? Did y'all know that? A tremendous source of cholesterol. Destroy you. Destroy your heart. Eat these abominable things. You'll become an object doomed to destruction. You'll get strokes, high blood pressure, heart attacks, cancer. Now they're finding out the Bantu in Africa don't have cancer of the colon. You never see cancer of the colon, a Bantu living in Africa. You bring him into this country, he gets as much cancer of the colon as you do. What's the difference? The difference is the diet. He lives on corn and beans. Very little animal fat. Reduce the amount of animal fat, you don't see cancer of the liver and cancer of the colon and cancer of the stomach. I mean, God was there 3,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago when he gave this diet. You eat these unclean foods, they'll kill you. That's all. Ruin your health, they'll kill you. You'll still have your righteousness before God because your righteousness is in Jesus Christ, not keeping the dietary law. But it'll show kill you. And God gave them to you. And he says, don't become an abomination, an accursed thing, doomed to destruction, because you're unteachable, because you like bacon. I like my bacon. I like my pork chops. I like pork meat. Fine. Eat it. That's what God says. God gave you a free will. He let you do it. And he'll weep for you. Jesus weeps. I think the biggest shock of my life was when I was praying for a bunch of homosexuals once. Mean mouth people? I mean, they were tearing me to shreds. And I was trying to witness the gospel to them, and I was really afraid for my physical being. I thought they were going to assault me. And I was there because God had put me there, and I began to weep before God. I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me. You're going to have to help me, Lord. I don't know why you brought me here. These people don't want to hear about you. I don't know why I'm here. I'm here in physical danger. I'm being belittled. I think they're going to throw rotten eggs at me. I said, show me how you feel about these people. And I've never had such compassion come over me. Oh. I sat down and began to weep for them because God showed me how. You know, they're dying people. They're trapped by the devil. They're trapped. They're in bondage. They're killing themselves. You know, the average life of a average lifespan of a homosexual male is 42 years. 42 years is his average life. That's how long he'll live. Less than 10% of them get to be 65. Because of this insatiable appetite they have, this bondage. And God weeps over them. What they do are abominations, and they become an abomination, and they become an accursed thing, and they die. And it weeps before the heart of God. And God will weep for you if you kill yourself eating these waste, ask you not to. He'll still love you. And Jesus Christ will still be your righteousness. Thank you, Lord. But if you have this, you just can't get rid of. Now, I just can't imagine eating grasshoppers and locusts and crickets now. The Bible says you eat those. And I see people that have chocolate-covered grasshoppers. I have a little trouble getting those down. Praise you, Lord. Let's look at next you'll see witchcraft, soothsayers, diviners, sorcerers, charmers, spiritualists. This is all from the one we read in Deuteronomy 18. We won't go back to that. You'll see those all those things will make you an abomination to God if you do them. If you get trapped in the occult, it will destroy you. The devil loves to get people trapped in the occult so he can kill them slowly and painfully as possible. He'll give them cancer. He'll drive them crazy. He'll have them in insane asylums. He'll let them die slowly and painfully as possible. That's his plan for you. If he can get his hands on you, to kill you as slowly and as painfully as possible. To degrade you. You know, he rebelled against God. He couldn't win against God. He tried and he lost. He can't touch God. He still hates God. But he can touch God's image. That's you. Created in the likeness and image of God. He can touch you. Derek Prince tells a story of the lady who was engaged to a man who went off to war. After being gone about 6 months, he wrote her a Dear John letter. He found somebody else in another port. And she went home and took his picture off the dresser and she stomped it. Threw it on the floor and stomped it. She couldn't stomp him, but she could sure stomp his image. That's what the devil does. He's trying to hurt God. He can't hurt God. He can't touch God himself. The only time he ever thought he could touch God was when he tried to touch God's Son. Jesus hung on the cross and took stripes for you. He hung on the cross for you. He was bruised. He was bruised for your transgressions. He was wounded for your iniquities. Chastisement of your peace was upon him. He took stripes that you might be healed. Devil. But he can sure touch God's image. That's you. And that's what he aims to do. That's how he hurts God. God weeps. Don't get trapped in the occult, people. Oppress the father. Suppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. That's an abomination to God. You know, widows and fatherless children are special to God. God said, I will be a husband to the widow and a father to the fatherless. You want to become an abomination, you touch a widow. You cheat the widow. Cheat the orphan. You'll bring the wrath of Almighty God down on you. To steal, to oppress the poor and needy, not restore a pledge. That's taking something and not giving it back. Usury and taking increase. Now that one was a hard one for me. Now what is taking increase? Usury, of course, is a high interest rate for borrowed money. But taking increase comes from the Hebrew word that means the second bite. Second bite. That means that once you have taken you lent it at a high rate of interest, and you deduct the interest when you give the man the loan, you take the interest out to start with. Have you all ever had a bank do that for you? That just increases the interest rate, is what it does. But a lot of loan companies will do that. You borrow your $5,000, and they'll take out how much interest you got to pay, and then you won't get but $2,500 maybe. That's all you're going to get, but you're going to sign a note for $5,000 because that's what it's going to be with the interest. Okay? And so when you do that, and then they come in and they have trouble paying it off, you bite them a second time. That's taking an increase. God says that's an abomination to him. Usury. God will not be required of until the sins of the fathers are repented. Look at that, would you? Let's look at Ezekiel 20. I think that's an interesting one, man. I think it's something that lots of folks haven't seen before. Let's look at Ezekiel 20, verse 4. We'll start in verse 1 in Ezekiel. It came to pass in the seventh month, in the seventh year, in the fifth month, on the tenth day of the month, that a certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and set before me. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the elders of Israel and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Have you come to inquire of me as I live, says the Lord God? I will not be inquired of by you. Will you judge them, son of man? Will you judge them? then make known to them the abominations of their fathers. Say to them that thus says the Lord God, on the day when I chose Israel and lifted my hand in oath to the descendants of the house of Jacob and made myself known to them in the land of Egypt, and I lifted my hand in oath, saying, I am the Lord your God. On that day I lifted my hand in oath to them to bring them out of the land of Egypt to a land that I had searched out for them, flowing with milk and honey, the glory of all land. I said to them, each of you throw away the abominations which are before that his eyes, and did defile yourselves the isles of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. But they rebelled against me, and did not obey me, and would not cast away their abominations which were before their eyes, and did not forsake the isles of Egypt. Then I will pour out my fury on them until my fury against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. Okay. Praise you, Lord. And so you see that you must repent of the sins. Now let's go back and look at Ezekiel 14. We'll start with verse 1 again. Now some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up idols in their hearts and put them that causes them to stumble into iniquity. Should I myself let them be inquired all? Thus speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord God, every one of the house of Israel who sets up idols in his heart and puts them before them and causes them to stumble into iniquity, then comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him who comes according to the multitude of his idols, that I may seize the house of the Ephraim by the heart, because they all strangled estranged from me by the idols. Therefore, the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, repent. Turn away from your idols. Turn your faces away from your abominations. And so you have to repent. Now let's turn over to Leviticus 26:40. And here is the basic requirements of obedience. It's a rather long chapter, but go to verse 40. We start at verse 39. And those of you who are left shall waste in their iniquity in their enemies' lands, and in their fathers' iniquities which are with them they shall waste away. But if they confess the iniquity and their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers and their unfaithfulness in me, which they were unfaithful to me, which they were contrary to me, and that I have walked contrary to them, accept their guilt, he says. You can go and read the rest of it. He says that he will forgive them. What I understand here is that if you want to inquire of God, one of the things that can cloud your communication with God are the sins of your fathers that you need to repent of. God is not so unjust as not to tell you what they are if you asked him. For he wishes that all men should repent and come to salvation. And salvation is a continuing process. It's more than fire insurance. Did you know that there were two words most commonly used for healing in the New Testament by Jesus? If you study the New Testament, healing, the first word for healing is the Greek word therapeutai, from which we get our modern word therapeutics, which means to heal over a period of time through care and nursing. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him, which means a slow process of getting well. The second one he used was, and is commonly translated in the Bible, as being made whole. And she was made whole immediately. The word is solo, which is the same word used for salvation. It's translated salvation, be saved. Translated in Romans, if you confess Jesus is Lord with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Same word. Salvation includes a continuing process of being healed and made whole and coming to the fullness of the knowledge of God, getting rid of your demons, and growing in faith, and growing in the nature, in the new nature that comes from the seed of God, God said that He had an incorruptible seed in you, a new nature that is founded from an incorruptible seed that does not sin. And when that new nature takes hold in you and grows in you, and the more it grows and the stronger it gets, the less you sin. You know, there's a parable of the eagle chicks. You know, a female eagle will lay two eggs. Most of the time she lays one, but occasionally she'll lay two. And you'll have two chicks in the nest. And there's always one of them that's pushing to the front to get fed. And as she feeds him and she gets hidden, that one gets stronger, then he sits on the other one's head. So he can't get anything to eat. And eventually they push that dead one out of the nest and there's only one left. Well, you got to figure out which one of your natures you're going to feed. You're going to feed that nature of God that's planted from an incorruptible seed that does not sin? Or are you going to feed the carnal nature that you don't have to feed anymore because your old man was crucified with Him that the body of sin might be rendered inoperative? You don't have to be a slave to it anymore. You're going to slay that sinful nature or that unsinful nature, that perfect nature from the incorruptible seed of God? One of the things then is you've got to repent of sins of your fathers. And I say, God is not so ungracious that He will not show you what they are if you ask Him. Look at the next one, Ezekiel 20, verse 4. I'm sorry, we've looked at that one. Let's look at Ezekiel 23. On the last page of your, on the last one, it says, comes into my sanctuary with unrepentant sin. You should have an entry there that says Ezekiel 23, 36 and 38. Now, the computer dropped that off, I'm afraid, and I didn't realize it when I proofread it. 36 to 38. The Lord also said to me, Son of man, will you judge Obala and Obala? Then declare to them their abominations, for they've committed adultery and blood is on their hands. They've committed adultery with their idols and even sacrificed their sons whom they bore to me, passing them into the fire to devour them. Moreover, they have done this to me. They have defiled my sanctuary on the same day and profaned my Sabbaths. After they have slain their children from their idols, on the same day they came into my sanctuary to profane it. Indeed, thus they have done it in the midst of my house. You can read the rest of it. But God says it's an abomination for you to come into His house with unrepentant sin. Think about it. You need to repent of your sins, people. Turn away. Now, repent is more than being sorry. It's turning away from them. And repentance is a gift from God. It's a spirit of repentance. You repent by God's grace. It's only by His grace that you can turn from sin. You know, everything in the Christian walk is by grace. That's why He said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. If you're doing it in your own strength, you're doing it in your flesh. And those that are in the flesh cannot please God. I mean, you know, you can defy a law so long. Sin is a law. That's, Romans says, that now there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, those who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. For the law of life in the Spirit has set you free from the law of sin and death. Sin and death is a law. Gravity is a law. And you can't defy the law of sin and death any more than you can defy the law of gravity. You can defy the law of gravity. You can walk out of the third story window, but you're going to fall. You can defy the law of, you know, I can defy the law of gravity right here. See, I'm defying Him. I'm holding it up there. And as long as I hold it up there in my strength, I'm defying the law of gravity. But when my hand gets tired after about 4 hours and my arm gets heavy, it's eventually going to fall. And without God's grace, you will fall to sin. God's grace is His free gift to you. The ability to stand against sin is God's, given to you by God's grace. Salvation, you can't even get up enough say, you can't even have enough faith to be saved. In your own right, it's by grace you're saved, not of works, lest a man should boast. Salvation is of grace. Deliverance is of grace. Healing is of grace. Turning from sin is of grace. Understand the grace of God. It's His free gift to you to turn away from the enemy. Paul, he said to Paul, let's look at that. Let's look at Acts 26. Acts 26, verse 18. Well, let's start at verse 15 to get the context. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, but rise and stand to your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both to the things you've seen and to the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes, to turn them, that's repentance, from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they might receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Let's move on. I'll get to preaching here and I'll get away from this. Thank you, Lord. Eat meat with blood in it. It is an abomination to God for you to eat blood. While you got your books open to Acts 26, let's just turn back to Acts 15. I want to show it to you here in the New Testament. I want to show you something that will bring you back under the law and put you under a curse from God. Therefore, I judge we should not trouble those among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but we should write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from fornication, from things strangled, and from blood. Verse 29 says the same thing. Now, this word, sexual immorality, is the Greek word porneia. That is the root word from which we get our word pornography. Now, it means more. If you want to know what it means, one of its meanings is you think of the pictures in Playboy all the way down to the grossest stuff that they print. That's porneia, covering sexual immorality. But it also means idolatry. Figuratively, it means idolatry. There are four different, it's one root, there are four different forms of it, and the last form is to be a whore, male or female. It also covers incest and adultery. But you don't eat meat with blood in it. You don't eat blood. You don't eat blood sausage. You don't eat blood pudding. You don't eat blood clots. Blood soup. We were in England. We were in the house and they brought this food out and I asked for two boiled eggs. I thought they would be safe. And they had this thing on my plate there. This looked like a piece of liver or something. I said, what is this? And she said, oh, it's good for you. Eat it. I said, well, you're not going to tell me what it is? Well, no. I looked and said, it looked like a blood clot to me. What is this? She sort of smiled. I said, is this blood sausage? And she said, yes, that's what it is. I said, ma'am, that's an abomination to God. Take that plate back to the kitchen and get that stuff off my plate. I'm not going to eat anything with that on it. And my son came out and he looked at it. And he said, I don't know what that is, but I don't want it. But people will serve you blood pudding. And they'll tell you it's quick energy and good protein and a curse from God.
Add Leviticus 3:17 right there. That's the first place it's called out.
3:17.
The last verse of the
3rd
chapter of Leviticus.
It also says you don't eat fat. All right, let's look at rely on the sword. What does rely on the sword mean? Rely on the flesh. What happens to people who rely on the flesh? There's a curse involved with relying on the flesh. I'd like for y'all to turn to Jeremiah 17. I want to read Jeremiah 17 starting at verse 5. This does not say abomination in it, but it's an interesting. But it goes back to relying on the sword, rely on the flesh. Curses a man who trusts in God and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. He shall be like a shrub in the desert, shall not see good when it comes, but he shall inhabit parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land that's not inhabited. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope's in the Lord. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and shall not fear when the heat comes. But a leaf will be green, she will not be anxious in the year of drought, and will not cease from yielding fruit. Trust in the Lord and you will not cease from yielding fruit. The next one it says, sharing what? That is not wheat, that is what? With the holy. Sharing what is holy with the heathen. You say, does that mean I'm not supposed to share the gospel? Well, let's read it. Ezekiel 44, 6 and 7. Now say to the rebellious, to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let us have no more of all your abominations when you brought foreigners, uncircumcised in heart and in flesh, to my sanctuary to feel it, to defile it, my house. When you offered my food, my fat, my blood, and then you broke my covenant because of all your abominations. I said, now what does that mean? And I prayed about it, and God gave me Matthew 7:6. So let's look at Matthew 7:6, words of Jesus. Matthew 7:6 is, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and rend you or tear you to pieces. Jesus didn't think you're supposed to share what is holy with swine, with dogs. I mean, you know, you don't. There's some things you just don't share with blatant unbelievers who will laugh at you, make fun of you, make fun. I mean, you don't share it with them. Jesus said so. Divorce the wife of your youth. Malachi 2:16. In our country today, when I was a small boy, if a man divorced his wife of 30 years and married his secretary, as is common in the country today, he was considered a rake or cad and was not considered acceptable company. And no person of decency would have such a person in their house. I mean, he was socially unacceptable. But today, we see lots of fine women being deserted by their husbands because they've gotten older. And some young chick has taken a shine to her husband. And he has no social stigma is attached to it. As a matter of fact, the feminist movement has made them change the divorce laws so he is no longer even penalized for such an abomination. Selfish or self-centered, the king to commit wickedness. And look at the rest of these. You can look up these. To be selfish or self-centered, let's look at James 3:14. If you're going to be selfish and self-centered, you're going to have a hard time with the Christian walk. If you're going to put yourself first, you're going to have a hard time with your Christian walk. Look at this. James 3:14-16. But if you have bitter envy or self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, or soulish, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing will be there. For the king to commit wickedness is an abomination to God. For the throne is established on righteousness. To justify the wicked is an abomination to God. To condemn the just is an abomination. A scorner, somebody who's scorning, a talebearer. And let's look at this one. The prayer of one who refuses to hear the law. Let's look at Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28:9. One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. I said, ooh, man. I told that one to my son. He said, you're reestablishing a medieval Catholic church with that, Dad. I said, well, that's what the Bible says. It's in Isaiah 1:13. God speaks to the people who are in utter rebellion against him, in all kind of sin, but yet they're going through a ritualistic religious ceremony. As long, they said, as long as there's a son of David on the throne, And as long as the morning and the evening sacrifice, and we observe the Sabbath and the new moon, God has promised us that we will never be conquered. That's what they said. And that's what the people believed. They believed that if they kept the Son of David on the throne, and they kept the sanctuary, the prayers going in the sanctuary, the morning and the evening sacrifice, kept the new moon's festivals, that God was obligated to maintain the nation of Israel forever. That's the way they understood the covenant that David had, that God had with David. God didn't understand it that way. Verse 1:13 says, "Bring no more fruitful sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure the iniquity in the sacred meetings. Your new moons, your appointed feasts, my soul hates. I am weary with bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I'll hide my eyes. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear them. Your hands are full of blood." And so I would say to you that this means for someone who is in open sin and rebellion against God, he's turned away in open sin and rebellion, and then comes to God with his laundry list, then God is an abomination. But it's also a word of warning to us. The unjust man is an abomination. The covetous person is an abomination. And to deal falsely is an abomination. And there's one in here I have missed someplace. Brother Green? I think my secretary left one off.
Isaiah 65, verses 3 and 4.
A people who provoke me to anger continue to my face, who sacrifice in the garden, burn incense on altars of brick, who sit among the graves, spend nights in the tomb, eat swine flesh, the broth of abominable things in their vessels. Who say, "Keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am holier than thou. These are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all day. Behold, is written before me, I will not keep silent. I will repay, and even repay to their bosoms, the iniquities and the iniquities of their fathers together," says the Lord.
Now, turn over to verse 16 and 17 of 66.
66?
"By fire,
for by fire and by sword the Lord will judge all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. Those who sanctify themselves and purify themselves to go to the gardens after idol in the midst, eating swine flesh and the abomination of the mouth, let them be consumed together," says the Lord. Praise your Lord. But there was one in here. I don't know what happened to it. Mixed marriages. Mixed marriages. Oh, me. Okay, Ezekiel 9, 1, Ezekiel 14. Ezekiel 9, 1. I mean, Ezra, I'm sorry. Ezra. Yeah. But I'm thinking the way it was called an abomination. Ezra 9, 1. "When these things were done, the leaders came to me and said, 'The people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people with respect to the abominations of the Hittites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Lucites, for they have taken,'" verse 2, "'for they have taken some of their daughters as wives and sons, and so the holy city is intermingled with the people of this land. Indeed, the hand of these people and rulers have been foremost in this trespass.'" And verse 14, "Shall you again break your commandment and join in marriage with people of these abominations? Should you not be angry with us until you have consumed us and be no remnant or survivor?" God doesn't want you marrying in it with unbelievers. Praise God. You know, there's a lot of scriptures here. And I want you to look, realize that the only time the word abomination was used, well, there were several times it was used in the New Testament. And each time it was used in the New Testament, it spoke of the abomination of desolation spoken by the prophet Daniel. Jesus used that twice. In Revelations, there are a couple of scriptures that refer to the church of the whore of Babylon, who has a cup filled with the blood of the saints and abominations. But there was one time that Jesus used abomination. And let's look at Luke 16:15. We'll start at verse 13, Luke 16:13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things, and they deriled him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourself before men, but God knows your hearts. What is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." Now he spoke that to the Pharisees who loved money, to the church leaders who loved money, to religious people who loved money. He said that's an abomination to God. You know, you don't have to be rich to love money. Poor people can love money. I say to you this. If you're having financial problems, or if you're having problems making ends meet, and you say that all I need is another $20 a week and all my problems will be solved, you love money because you think money will answer your problems. I say to you, if you get that $20 a week, you'll find that you need another $10. And if you get that $10 a week, then you'll find that you need another $10, a $5, a $20. Money's mouth, greed's mouth is never full. You need to lean on God. Now, it might be that you certainly don't have enough to meet your basic necessities. But what you need to do is turn to Almighty God. And Jehovah Jireh will provide for you. And the $20 won't meet your need, but Jehovah will. Now, we've talked about a lot of things this afternoon. And I wanted to lead you in a prayer. And we're going to cast out some spirits. We've talked about child sacrifice. We've talked about adultery. We've talked about fornication. And we've talked about infirmity spirits that can come into you when you do abominable acts that will destroy you, like eating pig's fat. And so we're going to pray now. We're going to break any curses over you. And we're going to command these things to come out of you. I want everybody to put their feet on the floor. Has anybody here never been in a mass deliverance service before? Everybody put their feet on the floor. I will lead you in a prayer, and then we will command some spirits to come out. Spirits are air, they're breath. The Greek is pneumo, like a pneumatic tire, like an inner tube. And they come out the breathing passages, and you take a deep breath and just relax. Generally speaking, you relax and let what happens, what happens. If it comes out as a scream, don't try to suppress it. Just let it go. You can get your dignity back. You want to lose your demons. You can get your dignity. Don't worry about your dignity. If it comes out and you start retching, let it go. Let it go. Don't hold it back because you can get your dignity back. And we've got people here who will help you. If you're having problems, they will help you. But the main thing is to let it go. Just let it go. I say, Dear Lord,
Dear Lord,
we love you, Lord.
We love you, Lord.
Lord, we want to be free.
Lord, we want to be free.
Lord, I want to be free to serve you, Lord.
I want to be free to serve
you, Lord. Be obedient to your word, Lord.
Be obedient to your word, Lord.
To bear fruit to you.
To bear fruit to you.
That your name might be glorified. Lord, I confess the sins of my fathers. Lord, I repent The sin of idolatry.
The sin of
whoredom.
The sin of
incest.
The sin of illegitimacy.
The sin of eating swine's abominable foods.
Eating blood and fat.
Lord, I ask forgiveness
for myself.
Now turn away
in the name of Jesus.
Lord, I confess
the
sin of the occult.
Now,
if you've been involved in the occult in any way, you need to very quietly mention it to God. Under your breath, I ask you to forgive me, Lord.
And
break the curse.
According to your
word.
For Jesus was made a curse for me.
That I might be delivered.
From the curse of the law.
I break the curse of rejection.
I am not a rejected child.
Jesus is my big brother.
God is my father.
I am a member of the family of God.
I will never be rejected again.
In the name of Jesus,
I break the curse
of rejection
over my life.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I confess.
They are people
who've hurt me in the past.
Lord, I forgive
everybody
who has ever hurt me
or dominated
me
in an ungodly fashion.
I forgive them, Lord.
I ask you to bless them
in the name of Jesus.
Lord, I forgive myself
for making foolish mistakes
in the past.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise your name, Lord Jesus.
Now,
say, spirit of rejection.
Spirit of fear.
The Lord rebuke you.
I rebuke you.
I bind you.
And I cast you out.
Spirit of idolatry.
Spirit of fornication.
Spirit of whoredom.
The Lord rebuke you.
I rebuke you.
I bind you.
And I cast you out.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise your name, Lord Jesus.
In the name of Jesus,
your spirit of
your spirit of rejection now, turn God's people loose.
All rejection. I come against rejection.
I come against the spirit of rejection in the name of Jesus.
These are God's people.
They've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ.
For in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin.
Come on out, rejection. You can't stay in there and bother God's people.
In the name of Jesus, all rejection.
All rejection. Rejection by mother. Rejection by father. Rejection by friends.
Rejection by co-workers.
Rejection by other children.
Rejection by teachers.
Rejection by wife.
Rejection by
people.
Rejection by the church.
In the name of Jesus, I bind your rejection.
Turn God's people loose.
Turn them loose in the name of Jesus.
All rejection, come out.
Fear of rejection, come out.
All fear.
All fear of rejection.
Fear of being unloved.
Fear of not being wanted.
Fear.
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 Rejection from the womb.
Come out in the name of Jesus Christ.
All rejection.
All fear of rejection.
Fear of not being wanted.
Fear of not being loved.
Fear of not being able to make it.
In the name of Jesus.
All fear.
Legion fear.
All fear.
Fear of the dark.
Fear of cats.
Fear of spiders.
All legion fear.
All fear.
Fear all around.
Fear.
Fear.
Fear of men.
Fear of sex.
In the name of Jesus Christ,
all fear,
come out in the name of Jesus Christ.
Fear women,
come out in the name of Jesus Christ.
Fear,
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 fear the parents,
fear the pastor,
fear the boss,
fear the co-workers.
Come out, come out,
come out.
Fear the unknown,
fear to leave the house.
In the name of Jesus,
fear the dark,
fear water,
all fear.
I bind you, fear.
I loosen the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. drives out all fear, all lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. I bind you. Leave God's people in the name of Jesus Christ. All lust in the name of Jesus Christ. Leave God's people, lust in the name of Jesus. All lust of the eye, lust of the flesh in the name of Jesus. Leave lust, leave now. Love of money, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Bondage, spirit of bondage. Bondage, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. For the people cried out in bitter bondage, bitterness, spirit of bondage and bitter bondage, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Bondage to the past, in the name of Jesus. Bondage to the past. Bondage to fear. Bondage to not to rejection. Bondage to witchcraft. Bondage to people, in the name of Jesus. Bondage, all bondage spirits, in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn it loose and let it go now. Let it go in the name of Jesus. All bondage. Bondage to alcohol. Bondage to drugs, in the name of Jesus. All witchcraft bondage. Bondage, witchcraft fear, witchcraft bondage, in the name of Jesus. Mind control, in the name of Jesus. All witchcraft mind control. Turn them loose now. Turn them loose. All soul ties. All ungodly soul ties. All bondage to the past. Bondage to people who controlled you in the past. I bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. All bondage. All sorcery. Bondage to drugs. Bondage to rock music. Bondage to drugs. All bondage. Bondage to alcohol. Bondage to cigarettes. Bondage to television. Bondage to sports. In the name of Jesus. All bondage. Leave now. All addiction spirits. Come out in the name of Jesus. All bondage to hurt. Bondage to pain. Bondage to bitterness. All spirits of deep hurt. Deep hurt. All spirits to hurt and bitterness. 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 All bitterness. Bitter spirits. Bitter rebellion spirits. Spirits of bitterness and rebellion in the name of Jesus. All spirits of bitterness. I come against the root of bitterness. Jesus Christ. We put Jesus Christ in the bitter pool to make it sweet. We pull the knife of betrayal out of the back in the name of Jesus. Pull out the knife of betrayal. Bitterness to betrayal. Bitterness. Bitterness against the boss. Bitterness against the wife. Against the children. Bitterness. All bitterness. In the name of Jesus. Leave. Leave bitterness. We bind you, Mara. All rebellion. All witchcraft. All rebellion. For rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. All witchcraft in the name. All witchcraft. All idolatry in the name of Jesus. All idolatry. All witchcraft. Witchcraft. Bondage to witchcraft. Indian witchcraft in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn them loose now. Turn them loose now. All witchcraft. All sorcery in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. I break the chains of witchcraft now. I come against the chains. I see the chains, the shackles of people in the name of Jesus. I come against the chains of witchcraft. And I speak to the chains and I say, drop off now in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to you, chains, and I say, drop off in the name of Jesus Christ. We cut your bonds of slumber. We cut your bonds of slumber. We cut you loose now in the name of Jesus from all witchcraft, from all control, from all witchcraft in the name of Jesus Christ. From those who would reach out from the grave to try to control you in the name of Jesus Christ, control you from the past, we bind it in the name of Jesus and we cut you loose now. All witchcraft. I come against the spirit of stubbornness now. I come against the spirit of strong self-will, stubborn self-will, stubbornness. I come against stubborn self-will, unteachable in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against the unteachable spirit, the stubborn spirit in the name of Jesus. I bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all stubbornness, all unteachable in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirit of paranoia in the name of Jesus.
Come against a period of paranoia in the name of Jesus Christ. Suspicion, paranoia in the name of Jesus. Suspicion, paranoia, fear, paranoid fear, suspicious fear in the name of Jesus. I bind you in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. I come against the spirit of rage and anger and murder and hostility in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirit of rage. I come against the spirit of strong drink. For wine is a mocker, but strong drink is a rage. I come against the spirit of rage and anger and hostility and murder in the name of Jesus. I bind these things in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirit of depression and loneliness. I come against the spirit of poor me, self-pity, poor me spirit. I bind poor me in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, poor me, in the name of Jesus. I come against self-pity and depression. I come against the spirit of depression in the name of Jesus, of solitude and slumber in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of the vagabond in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against the vagabond spirit, the spirit of poverty and vagabond in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirit of wandering, wanderlust, unable to hold a job, unable to stay in the same place, unable to put down roots, always wandering, always moving. I break the curse of returning evil for good in the name of Jesus. I break the vagabond curse, the curse of poverty in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against poverty. I come against the curse of poverty in the name of Jesus. I break you loose from poverty in the name of Jesus. Never having enough. I come against the curse of insufficiency, of the hole in the bottom of the sack. You make a good living, but it won't last. It won't last. It's never enough. It always runs out for the end of the month. You can never save, never get ahead. I bind up the hole in the bottom of the sack put there by the demon of poverty. In the name of Jesus, I break that curse in the name of Jesus Christ. And I bind you in the name of Jesus. I come against infirmity spirits now. I come against the spirits of infirmity. I bind you all. Infirmity spirits, for Jesus bore their infirmities and their sorrows, their sickness and their pain. And by His stripes they've been healed. I bind every infirmity spirit. I curse it to its roots and command it to leave in the name of Jesus. I come against the infirmity of high blood pressure and strokes in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against the infirmity spirits of Alzheimer's disease and encephalitis and meningitis and deafness in the name of Jesus Christ. We come against the spirit of deafness. Turn God's people loose. The deaf and dumb spirit in the name of Jesus. We come against the spirit of cancer, cancer of the mouth, cancer of the brain, cancer of the eyeballs, in the name of Jesus. We come against blindness. We come against glaucoma in the name of Jesus. We come against blindness. We come against cataracts. All you infirmity spirits, leave now in the name of Jesus Christ.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. And LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.